But I'd love to know, you know, how did you become the expert that you are today in this specific, you know, point in the world? And what was your journey like to get here? Just give us some background of who Gail is and how you got to be doing this great work that you're doing in the world.
Well, your intro of me spoke to it, Christine. Talk about previously reluctant speaker. I was terrified, like many of us are. And I had to find my way to speak that actually evolved over time. The good news about my executive position at National Speakers Association was that I ran the organization and I only had to speak at the convention once or twice a year. But I got to watch what happened. And I realized that the best speakers didn't necessarily follow the rules, but they showed up fully and originally and unforgettably. So how do they do that?
Fully, I love that. Fully, originally, and unforgettably.
And isn't that what we want, both with our books and our speaking? Why would we go to all the trouble if it could not be presented and received in that way? So it's been a long journey for me, both watching speakers, supporting speakers in their strategy, years ago even being an agent to get some books published for my key clients. But as I've done my own inner work and studied more about other cultures and cross-cultural wisdom, I realized that it is very much about going back to the heart of who we are and our gift that we bring to the world, and that is what is ours to do. And so I became a lot more confident as a speaker, as I became more confident as a person in my own skin. And that definitely applied to writing my book as well. I remember once being very agitated that I was doing a speaking engagement that just wasn't the right fit for me. And a dear friend said, what if instead of agonizing like this, instead of saying yes to these things, you took the time to write your book? And that's actually what happened. It shifted my perspective to say, instead of not doing what's mine to do, what if I really put my energy around the contribution this book could be? And that started me on that journey.
What an amazing story, right? If you think about all the things we do that aren't really what we were born to do, then take that energy and move it into, you know, in your case, the book, many of you, right? All of you here, pretty much the book to some degree, or the promotion of the book. That's beautiful, right? Out of our challenges,
yeah.
That agonizing time of, oh, gosh, I really don't want to, you know, be doing this in this particular space at this particular time, and then letting that transform. And, you know, now Random House published, right? And there's people being blessed by the message there. It's awesome. Now, we haven't talked a lot in the past. I know that you have a very strong belief that stories really do have the power to change the world for good. So I'm just curious, you know, where does that conviction come from, and why do you feel that storytelling truly is so important, especially in this day and age?
I work with a lot of people who are interested in social change and global change, and often those ideas can be controversial. And people can argue with our facts, with our information, with what it is we have to say forever. I mean, you can look at, if you look at the argument now on climate change, for example, it seems the stronger one side gets with what they think is correct science, the more adamant the other side gets. So I have recognized over time that speaking to the mind doesn't create change. It creates resistance if someone doesn't agree with us. So how do we speak to a person's soul? And that happens in indigenous cultures through ritual, through song, through drumming, and through story. Because when we're touched on a soul level, it can cascade down to what we think, to what we do, and it's inarguable. People will argue with our facts forever, but they can never argue with the truth of our story. That's personal. That story, well told, can make all the difference in how someone can hear us. And as we get our message in the world, I trust that it comes from our story. Where in your life did that story become important? Your core message will come out of the story of your life. And I think any listener, whether it's in a speech or in a book, wants to know why you care so much about this and how you came to know it. We can look stuff up forever on the internet. We can get all the facts and information we need. But the power of the story to touch us so that things can transform, so that things will change, is to me what we've got. I went to hear Eduardo Galeano, a Latin American writer and poet, this last week. And he said, scientists say that we're made of atoms, but a little birdie told me we're made of stories. And I just loved hearing that, because we don't, you know, it's cold and impersonal unless there's a story. And we're inviting people in. We're saying, sit down with me, get involved, turn the next page, listen to the next 10 minutes, whatever it is. And the story is what invites us to gather so that we'll listen. And it's memorable. There's Native American wisdom that says, tell me a fact and I'll listen. Tell me a truth and I'll hear. But tell me a story and it will live in my heart forever.
What a beautiful, beautiful truth, truly. I just want to take a moment to make sure that everyone writes down the question that you said earlier about, you know, how do we speak to someone's soul, right? And you mentioned some of the shamanic practices, drumming and other things, but that story truly is how you, as a transformational author, through your words and through your spoken word, your written word and your spoken word, but it's those stories that will help you really move someone and touch their soul, like you say, so that it can live on in them forever,
mm-hmm.
and live on in their hearts forever.
And I'll take that one step further, Christine. I think many times people say, well, here's the information I want to put out there, and now I need to find the story that supports it. And what I've seen over time with my clients is you tell the story that has the most meaning for you, that message is just going to come out of it. So it flips it upside down and actually touches the listener or the reader in a much different way than trying to make it up.
That, everyone, something to remember right there, because some of you, as you get into your writing process, are going to find yourself in that situation where you're, you know, where there's material and words that have come out and you're searching for the stories, you know, and sometimes that works well, but if you get, you know, when you, because you probably will, you know, get stuck in that point, flip it on its ear. And don't focus so much on, you know, the information, as Gail says. Focus on the story and tell the story that has the most meaning for you, and it will flow. I mean, I love when I work with an author and they get to that point and like, oh my gosh, I'm writing thousands of words a day and everything's just in the flow and it's coming and I can't stop the words. And it's like they kind of stopped thinking about what they were writing in their head,
mm-hmm.
and they hit that, you know, lift-off point where they're just, they are. They're in their heart, they're in their soul space, they're in their flow, and it really is, it's quite magical. A magnificent thing to witness. Yeah, yeah, it is. It is magical, and that's what we want for all of you. So write that down if you didn't. You know, this is one of the ones to put on a sticky note or index card and keep somewhere. Tell the story that has the most meaning for you. And, you know, then you can extract the lessons and the gifts and, you know, teach from that place, because your book also needs to be about the reader. But that's going to free a lot of you up, I think, in your writing process, just a sense I have. So that all being said, Gail, when you look ahead, right, as we're speaking today, it's May 2013, and, you know, we're living in a really transforming world. You know, there's a lot that's happening. There's a lot that appears to be not great things happening. And I look at the world and I see, you know, magic and miracles and blessings sort of everywhere. But when you look ahead from where we stand today, 2013, what do you see as possible for our world through the power of stories?
I think it's probably the only thing that can change someone's heart to move in the direction of transformation. I've been struggling for the last couple of months with the Rumi quote that I keep in my signature on my emails that says, "Speak a new language so the world may be a new world," because I realize how much of our language is divisive. I've noticed it more in the last 6 months. I think it was from the Mayan prophecies and the turning of times at the end of last year, at the end of 2012, when many people described it, and it comes from some of the prophecies, as the rise of the feminine. Beautiful. New ways of being, new possibilities, new integration, complementary energies. And yet, I've talked to many men who are alive and awake who still see it as a criticism of the masculine rather than an equality that the times are asking for. And we, being writers, being speakers, our capacity to use words that unite us and take us to a good place of possibility rather than creating more division, I think is one of the things we're being asked. Because when we can do that, there will be more excitement, more support, and more capacity for change. Rumi said, out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I will meet you there. And that field doesn't have words. So how do we get to that field where there is no difference, and we can start creating in a place that isn't about protecting ourselves, but in building something more profound, more important, more significant for our collective future? So it's an interesting question I'm in right now, because I think it's an energetic, but I think it's very much about telling that new story for our world. Lots of times we can't see it yet. So how imaginative can we be about what might be possible? I don't think we write or speak without having something we suggest to our audience that they want to consider that will take a new action. That's the kind of change that we speak to when we talk about transformation. Something fundamentally changes. So if people choose to do what we suggest, how might the world be different? I'm really seeing that sometimes we need to paint the picture, that we need to go as big and wide and as imaginative as we can be to bring people into the new possibility so that we can step up collectively to create change.
I could sit here and just listen to you talk all day, because I feel myself, and some of you right now may be feeling that, just the pull, like the being drawn into Gail's words and the space that she's creating for what is possible. you know, story being really the only thing perhaps that can really help tip the scales, you know, and help us all live, breathe, eat, walk, talk, love, sing, dance, you know, in a world that truly works for everyone. And you know that the way that we transform anything, right, is by transforming ourselves first. That's the only place that change can live, is in us and how we show up. And just in the spaciousness of your speaking, I could feel this pull, like, oh, yeah, like that pull into the new world, the new vision of what is possible, you know, what really is possible. So
it reminds me of one of my friends when he wrote his book years ago on Breakpoint, said the pain pushes until the vision pulls. So what is the vision that pulls us to the future in a way that we're excited rather than terrified when we look around? And as for any writer, any author, any speaker, what would it be like if we painted that picture of the world that we see so that it pulls instead of the pain pushing us?
I'm going to ask someone to write that quote in Facebook to share here. The pain pushes until the vision pulls.
And I think that's from George Land and Beth Jarman, but when I thanked them for it, they said, huh? Which could be, Christine, another example of how when we're in the flow, the most amazing things we say, and then we don't even remember them.
Oh, goodness.
But credit George Land.
Okay. Well, someone do share it, and I guess credit George with the quote, and who knows, maybe it is something brilliant that they've said, he said, she said, but I know I've heard this somewhere before, and I can't recall where the source was, where I heard it, but we do want to get it out there because it is a very critical piece. And, you know, of course, invites each and every one of you into the conversation and the contemplation around what is the vision that pulls you. You know, and clarity on that can really be fuel for helping you write and speak your transformational message, because you know the end game, you know the vision that is pulling you forward, hopefully one that you'll be able to experience and live in your lifetime. I think it's possible, absolutely. So, you know, when we talk about our authors, and we bring in, you know, what you just said about story really being, you know, in your, from your perspective, the thing that, perhaps the only thing that is going to help shift our world, you know, speak a new language so the world can be a new world. Let's kind of bring this down into sort of this physical plane for our authors and tie it in. And maybe give them some, I don't know, it's not input or advice, share some thoughts with them on how to help them really bring forth their most powerful and transformational story so that they can become a force for good in the world. You know, I know we have some of you listening right now, you already know exactly what that is. You've been speaking it, teaching it, living it, breathing it. And there's a whole bunch of you, I think, that are listening right now, live or recorded, whenever you're listening, that are getting the sense that you can feel it. Like, you know the seed is there somewhere in your being, but you don't quite know how to, you know, bring it forth and give it form. Would you be willing to talk about that a little bit?
I think I have two ways of going at it. Often people come to my classes and say, I don't know what to talk about. I have so many ideas. I have so much experience. There's so many things I could say. And the way I simplify that after, you know, a number of processes to get them really current with who they've become, because it's so easy to get in jet lag about that. We need to catch up. But it's, if you had only 1 minute to speak, what would you say? What's the most essential thing? And I remember Rilke, when he was in his letters to a young poet, said, go inside yourself, see the reason that commands you to write. Ask yourself whether you would have to die if you could not say it. I mean, that's a good one. What is it that commands you to write? And then another way of looking at this is a series of questions that I developed a few years ago to really find the message written in your soul. It's called Calling All Voices. Because understanding that we each have something original to bring means stepping out of that fitting in and really standing out in a way that's true to our own true nature, so that we can show up with the gift that we bring. So the four questions I ask on Calling All Voices are, the first one is, what delights you and brings you alive? I love the poet David White, who says, anything or anyone that does not bring you fully alive is too small for you. And we're wanting big books. We're wanting big voices in the world, not something small, predictable, boring. We want something that stands tall and proud and makes a statement. So what is it for you that delights you and brings you alive?
The second, I hope everyone, before you go on, I want to make sure that everyone is writing down that question. What delights you and brings you alive? The answer to that question is going to be some pretty serious rocket fuel, soul fuel, I think, for some of you. So please write that down. What delights you and brings you alive?
And I'll give you just a bit more of that poem. You must remember one thing the world was made to be free in. Give up all other worlds except the one to which you belong. Anything or anyone that does not bring you alive is too small for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, when we get so clear about that, the stuff that's sort of meaningless and filler falls away. Actually, and I'll just say, when I wrote my book, Christine, I was going to make it really short, sweet, wise, and wonderful. I mean, how much could you say about speaking anyhow? And actually, it became a regular, full-size, 50,000-word book, because I realized there was a lot to say when I got into that flow and saw that life running through it. So it's pretty hard to know in advance what that book is going to look like, whether it's a small parable or whether it's a a very long masterpiece. But if we can stay with what brings us alive, it's going to be juicy and meaningful to others.
And
then
juicy,
the second
is
question.
Good. We started out the week with succulent, juicy Sark, so the fact that juiciness is coming here at the end of the week is perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. So second one, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, and it also juices us to keep writing, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Otherwise it's like, good Lord, who would read this? And I think sometimes getting ourselves started, it feels that way. But once we get in that flow, it's unstoppable.
Yeah.
So the second one, what breaks your heart? That's a harder one, but boy, the stories that come from that. Look at the things that we don't want to see. That you shut off the television, you won't read the paper, you turn your back because it is so painful. Rumi said, break my heart, break it again, so I can love even more again. It's just that opening where we can hold what's actually here with love and not judgment and not shrink away from the thing that could be our greatest call. And if you want a more contemporary philosopher, you could go to Leonard Cohen, who said, there is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. So there's a lot of imperfection and pain in our world. And the thing that breaks your heart the most is very likely the biggest part of our contribution. If we turn away, we're shutting an essential part of ourselves down. And when our heart breaks open, that purpose can be revealed.
Mm.
So what breaks your heart?
Difficult question, like you said, but powerful question.
Yeah.
I just want to give people a moment to kind of let that question linger. You know, what breaks your heart? What do you see in the world? You know, I recently posted on Facebook, I think the question was, if your book could change one thing in the world, you know, what would it be?
Mm.
And I think, you know, within the hour, there must have been 30, 40 comments, people sharing, you know, about, I would relieve people's pain of self-doubt, or I would make sure that, you know, my book had people, you know, save and love our earth, or whatever the different things were. And, I mean, sometimes I wrote posts or post questions that get really, you know, solid responses, but that question that I shared on the Facebook page, where some of you are posting some of the nuggets right now that you're getting from Gail, but it kind of speaks to that. You know, what do you see in the world that breaks your heart that you would want your book, your message, your story to help shift?
Mm-hmm.
And, man, there was a lot of juiciness coming out of people, and deep, you know, profound truths. You could feel their commitment, you know, to wanting to see that vision become real. And so I just wanted to reiterate a powerful, powerful question. So on to number three.
What does healing look like? Because that's really the new story. What is the inspiring new story you will tell to show us the way to a vision of what is possible? I love that Van Jones said Martin Luther King didn't change the world by saying, I have a complaint.
Can you imagine how different things would be if Martin Luther King started out with that? Oh, my gosh. I don't know why I find that absolutely hysterical.
And as someone in one of my recent classes says, yeah, and he also didn't say, I have a plan. You know,
right.
He had a vision. What does healing look like? The Bible says, when there is no vision, the people perish. So our work as writers and speakers is to be that visionary of, again, as we said earlier, what's possible? So what does healing look like? I mean, when I look at this, Christine, these two questions, you know, could be, when you find what that is for you, what breaks your heart, and then you get this idea of what healing looks like, that's an article, that's a book.
Mm-hmm.
Full of stories.
That's a revolution.
Yeah, it is a revolution. But it's full of how we're seeing it manifested, the stories that we can tell about what's happening, the potential that's there, because we are inspired by other people's stories, not because they're personal, not because they're, gee, she did it. It touches something within us that's our story as well. So we have to get over thinking it's self-absorbed and personal. The hero's journey, the heroine's journey is universal. And no matter what that challenge is, that we face when we tell it in a way that people feel it within themselves for their own challenge and apply the lesson to what they're facing, it becomes universal in its application.
Mm. So all four of those questions in recap. What delights you and brings you alive? Sorry, three questions. What breaks your heart? And then what does healing look like?
And then one more.
Oh, there's another one. Awesome.
There's
I've got my more. Pen ready. I hope you all do too.
What one life-affirming action will you do beautifully and consistently with love? Because that's where the transformation comes from, when we actually do something. Otherwise, we can sit in a wait-and-see stupor. And what will you commit to doing right now that supports the healing you envision?
You know, I have to say that I am so grateful that this class is on a Friday. The reason being that it gives people some time to just really contemplate the depth and the power in these questions that you're asking. So for those of you listening live, little bonus I'm going to tell you right now is the classes that happen on Fridays, you get to listen to all weekend long. You don't just have 24 hours. You have all weekend long. So if you are really resonating, I'm going to encourage you to maybe even perhaps try to listen to this one twice. If you're listening now live on Friday, maybe listen to it again at some point over the weekend. But whatever you do, take some time this weekend to contemplate these questions. And as much as you feel willing to share, you know, please share some of your answers over at our Facebook community. You know, it'll help the community get to know more about you. It'll open up connections with others. And it may just, you know, inspire someone to contemplate the question for themselves. So it feels beautiful that it's a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, I know I just kind of asked Nancy this question on the previous class, and it was, you know, much of what she talked about is that your story, your bio, your essential message, if you will, isn't just for the bio. It's everywhere. It's in the beingness of who you are. And it feels like I want to ask you the same question as people ask themselves these questions and really begin to excavate and discover and own and live into and share their story. Are there specific ways that you suggest that everyone listening actually incorporate the story? You know, I don't know that when someone at the post office, you know, says, oh, so how are you? How's your day? And, you know, you lay the whole thing out there, but you know, what are the different ways that you see that everyone listening can begin, even now, long before your book may be done, to incorporate your story into all that you do?
Maybe one way of looking at that, Christine, is when people say, what do you do, which is such a boring question. You know, maybe we start saying to people, what brings you alive? But when people ask us what we do, and I think that comes from, you know, a great intro. Someone actually once called me on the fact that when I said I teach public speaking, and she said, that's terrible. That sounds so pedestrian and ordinary. I said, well, help me with it. And she said, you help people come alive to the truth of who they are so that they can speak authentically and enliven everything they touch. It's like, oh, yeah. So how do, and then people will say, well, how do you do that? Or how did you move into that? And it starts giving us a place to tell our stories. That's what I love about public speaking. people come up, I mean, it's, and for everyone writing a book, while you're writing that book, find speaking opportunities. Everybody needs free speakers, and it's a great way to get your feet wet. Show up for those things. Start telling stories. Start perfecting your craft. Start seeing what new stories evolve from beginning with that initial story. And when someone comes up and says, I love what you said, thank you, you need to say very specifically, what was it that touched you? Because then you know what's reaching someone. Otherwise, you've got this 15 minutes and you don't know what it was that they loved. It feels good that they said that. But always ask them to be specific. I'm sure when you get feedback on writing, it's the same thing. Where was it that it really got alive for you? Where did it touch you? Because that's what we want to know so that we can do more of that. I was speaking in January to the Global Alliance for Transformation and Entertainment, directors and screenwriters and Hollywood people. And it was one of those really tough things like TED Talks where you have all these lights in your eyes, and my work is about connection and heart and being with people, touching them. And that's hard with floodlights up in your eyes. And so, you don't know what's going on out there. It requires more grounding and presence than any talk where you can actually see people. And when I was leaving that night after a very long day, I couldn't go all night. The entertainment industry does it in a little different way. And a man ran up to me out of this crowd, and he said, oh, you can't leave until my wife says hello to you. And so I waited, and she came up. She said, I have to tell you, of all the speakers today, your talk was the one that meant the most to me. So I asked the question, what was it that made a difference? And she said, it was so personal. When we're stuck in a sea of information and one of us steps forward and we're personal, that resonates. That sticks. David White, again, one of my favorite poets, says, this is not the age of information. People are hungry. These are the days of loaves and fishes. People are hungry. And one good word is bread for 1,000. So whether it's story, whether it's core message, getting to that one good word that's ours to put out in the world is really worth the excavation and the time. So that 5 years later, when you look at your book, you're going to say, I'm proud of that. I'd say it again. The same way. Yes, we continue to grow, but we want what we put out in the world to be a representation of what we hold most dear.
So well said. So well said. And I know that this is landing with people. I know this is landing with you, so just let it land. It may even be a moment for some of you listening where there are tears, perhaps, coming to your eyes, rolling down your cheeks, maybe a smile or a sigh of relief, right? In a sea of, transformational entertainment leaders, right? Gail steps on stage and then afterwards asks the question, what was it that made the difference? And it was a personalness, each and every one of you. I'm going to circle back to one of the things Gail said at the very beginning of the interview. Interview, really, it's a class, it's a conversation. Interview is not the appropriate word. But at the very beginning, remember she said that her speaking transformed as she transformed. And all of you, you know, we're at different stages, but you're all on the path of your own personal transformation. And, you know, to be able to just stand on stage and speak very personally about your experience, you better believe the same thing is going to happen for you that happened for Gail, is that she stood out from the crowd because it was personal. Even though it was one speaking to many with floodlights and she didn't even, couldn't even see the faces in the audience. Right? She was speaking personally. And each and every one of you can do that beautifully, powerfully, and in a way that truly can profoundly shift another person's life. It's in you, or you wouldn't be here listening to this class, this conversation right now. So I just want you to know, you know, some of you might be feeling the butterflies, like, you know, that you need to go prepared and scripted and, you know, have everything all mapped out and figured out and what you're going to say. And sometimes it's showing up and speaking, as I know in my own experience, is some of the most powerful speaking I've done.
Mm-hmm.
I once led a 3-day retreat. You know, some of you listening right now, my clients and my master heart were there. I led a 3-day retreat on, my agenda was a single index card with 3 introductory questions on it that I wanted, you know, my clients to answer. And that was it for 3 days. The rest of it was just whatever showed up. The rest of it was presence. The rest of it was connection. The rest of it was being personal. You know, that was one on, you know, a small group. But even when I speak sometimes in front of 300 people, it's the same thing. Just me and you talking. And that kind of talk, that kind of speech, if you will, I think, and I'm sure you'll agree, Gail, truly does have the power to transform in ways that some flashy PowerPoint never would.
Yeah, you know? I've actually never used PowerPoint because I do think we're the most important visual. And we take away from our own presence and energy by having them look somewhere else unless it truly supports what we're saying. And it doesn't mean we don't prepare. We structure, but we never use a script because you want to allow the energy of the moment to inform you. So you have that spontaneity based on what you're sensing, what's happening with the audience. And if you're focused on a script or a PowerPoint, you're oblivious to what's happening. And so it's a skill we grow into by having a bit more trust of our intuition. That's what's needed. And I get a lot, I bet you do too, Christine, someone will say, what did you just say? And you have no idea. And that's where you
happens
know
all the time.
Yeah, something came through you that was needed in that moment for that person that wasn't scripted, and you don't even remember what it was, but it meant everything to them. So then usually someone else in the group can say, oh, I can help. And that nugget of wisdom that never would have had an entry point is there and recorded and useful because you allowed it. And I think the other question this brings up for people is, what if they don't like me? You know, I think we have to get over the fact that when we stand for something, everyone's not going to line up and say, oh, that was amazing. We stand for it because it matters to us. If we sway too much with what we want, we do not take the authority as a speaker or as an author without taking a stand. And I think it was Mark Twain who said, a person who has no enemies does not deserve to have friends. So... a speaker who has no dissent does not deserve a lot of fans. You know, a writer, let's be willing to take a stand.
Yes. Yes.
And our stand comes from what we love, what delights us, what we know healing would look like, our capacity to imagine a new story for ourselves and our world.
I think one of the pieces here that I want to bring as well, Gail, is that there's a level of trust, I think, that people really need to develop, not only in themselves, but in that energy, right? When you said, let the energy of the moment inform you, I think the more that someone can practice and exercise and really come to lean on that, like they would lean on their Loctite signed, sealed, and delivered insurance policy, right? If you think of your insurance policy, whatever it is, car, auto, life, you know, but like that's your insurance. Like you can lean on that. Something happened, you end up in an unknown space, you know, that insurance policy is there to take care of you. And I think when you can lean on that energy that Gail is talking about and really trust that energy of the moment is absolutely going to inform you, and that you can be open and receptive to receiving that energy, that insight, you know, that little, like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to say that. You know, I every month I host a call for people who are readers of my book, A Daily Dose of Love. It's just a reader appreciation call. And I just get on the phone once a month, absolutely free, as long as people get a copy of the book, and I just answer their questions. And, you know, I never know what kind of questions I'm going to get. But after doing this now, you know, 2 years plus, I have such faith and trust in that energy that even if I need to say to my, you know, people on the phone listening to me, say, hold on a sec, let me just close my eyes and sit with this one. And I'll just sit with people hanging on the phone in silence so that I can actually catch what that energy in the moment is trying to inform me to say. And then I share what comes. And then, you know, 99.9, if not 100 out of 100 times, it's a profound insight for the other person. And if you ask me to say it again, I have no idea what I just said.
Mm.
It's just, you know, it's where the power is in that spaciousness, I think, and that trust in that energy to inform you. So, yeah, for any of you that were expecting, like, you know, public speaking platform skills, I hope that you realize the value of what you're getting here. It's going to, I think, land a little bit deeper and take you on a pretty amazing journey. So before we move into wrapping up here and sharing, I know you have a phenomenal free resource that you want to share with everyone on the six radical truths to transform your speaking. I'm sure it'll take the learning today even deeper. But before we do that, and I have one wrap-up question I want to ask you, but one of the things we wanted to talk about today is that one simple action that can help everyone listening actually impact, you know, more people sort of right from where they are today. What action is that that you would hope that everyone would take in making their impact and making their mark on the world?
To trust that your journey is for a reason and it gives you something really original and significant to say. The action is to stand in your originality, avoid competition and comparison at all costs. Once you move into comparison and competition, you're not standing for the original you are. And we need you as the original you are.
I love that. I hope you're all writing that down. We need you. You are needed. as the original you are. Powerful. So much wisdom coming through you. I just love it. So with that being said, before I ask you my final question, let's take a moment here. I want to tell everyone where you can go. If you're just like hanging on Gail's words and just relishing in this space with her right now, I have a feeling you want a little bit more. And there are two ways that we want to share with you. You can get a little bit more of Gail and her brilliance and her original essence and beauty. One of those places is to go to transformationalauthor.com/GailFree. And that's Gail, G-A-I-L, free as in doesn't cost you anything, F-R-E-E. So transformationalauthor.com/GailFree. And that's where you'll find her 6 radical truths to transform your speaking. It's a special report that you can go there and get at absolutely no cost. And it's a great report. I know I have it myself. It will help you deepen what you've learned today and what's happening for you today. And then the other thing, as you heard earlier, that Gail actually does, you know, on an annual basis, work with a small amount of people in person. And she has one of her introductory trainings coming up at the end of July in Vancouver. And if you're curious about actually being in Gail's presence and really deep diving your own transformational speaking, I would encourage you, after you go get the free resource, to go to transformationalauthor.com/Gail, just her name. And when you get there, you will see some information on the program that she's doing in Vancouver. And when you enter the coupon code TAE, lowercase stands for Transformational Author Experience, TAE25, Gail is going to extend you a 25% discount. For those of you here, only through June 15th or, you know, before that if it sells out sooner. She only works with 20 people in this training, so it's close, it's intimate, it's personal. You know, you won't go away without getting what you need to tell your transformational, world-changing story. So please go over to transformationalauthor.com/Gail to get the details and use the coupon code TAE25, the numbers, the numerals 2 and 5, so TAE25 to get that savings. And was there anything more, Gail, that you wanted to share on either one of those, either the free report or the course coming up in Vancouver?
No, the Vancouver course is fun. It is an intro. It's Friday night to Sunday noon. Typically, my teaching is 6 people over 4 days to develop an entirely new talk. But this gets you into the fundamentals that are going to help you stand powerfully in your truth and in your story. And it's so much fun. It's always a great learning community that's continuing support.
Beautiful. I hope that, well, definitely, if you end up there, please let me know you're going, and I can't wait to hear what happens. I know it will be nothing short of magical and miraculous, I think. As you can see, time with Gail in just this hour has probably shifted you, you know, on some level. So just imagine being with her in person, taking a deeper dive into this work, specifically around your message. So, and some of you, who knows, maybe you'll go to Gail's site and end up at her, you know, real deep dive, 1-on-6, 4-day training. I know I want to try to get out to that myself, just to be in your energy and be in your field and see what opens up as the energy informs us all in that moment over those 4 days.
I bet we'd be creating a new story, Christine.
Yes, something tells me we would be. Oh, so in closing, if there's one most valuable piece of wisdom that you want everyone listening to walk away with from this class, I mean, you've covered a lot of ground today. Certainly, I hope that you all feel like you have figured out how to discover and tell your world-changing story. I mean, the questions that Gail has posed to you, the wisdom she shared, there's been so much. But for you, Gail, what is the one most important thing that you really want everyone to walk away with?
I'll share the thing that absolutely changed my life and my work experience. I work with a concept, it's an indigenous concept of original medicine. And it sounds good, but when you make it very personal, you are naming what it is you bring that is nowhere else duplicated on the planet, and that if you don't bring it forth, it's lost to the world for all time. That's the indigenous belief. So I like to work with people on naming it rather than just keeping it as a concept. And when you know your medicine and you know your message, you're going to simplify and amplify everything you do in your writing, your speaking, your life, because you know what to say yes to and what to say no to. And that kind of simplicity is hard won in today's world. If you can't show up in that truth, why are you spinning your wheels? And it says everything about the audiences who are so ready for what we have to bring.
Yes, and just the concept for all of you, right? Let it land. Simplify and amplify. They do happen simultaneously. And it is a beautiful thing as that happens. So thank you so much for leaving everyone with that amazing wisdom nugget there. And just thank you, Gail, for your time, your heart, your love, your dedication to your craft, to your originality. And thank you for taking time to be here and sharing with everyone today here in the Transformational Author family, really. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Christine, and thanks to all of you for your voice in the world.